here on republicbroadcasting.com, go to republicbroadcasting.org and smash that donate button. Send much needed fundage. I'm being told that you can still do the t-shirt and mug for $115. That's $230 for your matching t-shirt and mug set for you and the missus. You can call that in or mail it in to Republic Broadcasting Network, 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Check out our chat site at inplainsight.chitango.com. That's site spelled S-I-T-E, set up by our very own Murr from Wisconsin. And we're here on RBN just trying to make it good compared to what. Got some headlines to go through and maybe taking some calls towards the middle of the show, 512-248-8252. And what is next? We've had the virus pandemic. Could we be faced with a cyber pandemic? Pulled this headline off the Stormer today. Government claims that hackers shut down biggest gasoline pipeline in the U.S. and gives no explanation. From Bloomberg, the operator of the biggest gasoline pipeline in the U.S. shut down operations late Friday following a ransomware attack that threatens to roil energy markets and upend the supply of gas and diesel to the East Coast. Colonial Pipeline said in a statement Saturday that it provocatively took certain systems offline to contain the threat, which has temporarily halted all pipeline operations and affected some of our IT systems. It's working to get business back to normal. The cybersecurity firm FireEye Incorporated said its Mandiant Incident Response Divisions is assisting with the investigation. My comments here, fake President Joe Biden, who's spending the weekend at Camp David, was briefed on the incident Saturday morning at the White House, and he said, Colonial is a key artery for the eastern half of the U.S. So, just to make it clear, fake President Biden was briefed at Camp David, and then the article goes on to read, this is not what Biden's saying, Colonial is a key artery for the eastern half of the U.S. It is the main source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel for the East Coast with capacity of about 2.5 million barrels a day on its system from Houston as far as North Carolina and another 900,000 barrels a day to New York. So apparently this is going to cause gas stations to run dry. From USA Today, a ransomware attack on a major U.S. energy pipeline is threatening to leave some gas stations in the southeast without fuel. If it's not solved quickly, stations that rely on the Colonial Pipeline could begin running short within days, according to Patrick DeHaan, who is head of petroleum analysis at fuel savings app GasBuddy, which tracks prices and outages. Quoting Patrick DeHaan, he says, nobody is out yet, but we're probably right on the cusp. Today, tomorrow, especially Wednesday, you're going to see more outages. Still, he urged drivers not to panic in states along the Gulf and southeastern Atlantic coasts. Don't go out and hoard gasoline and make the problem much worse, he says. So, Anglin comments in the article here, whenever the media tells people not to hoard something, it sounds like they're encouraging hoarding. 17 states have declared a state of emergency. According to The Hill, the Federal Motor Carrier Safety Administration on Sunday issued a regional emergency declaration in 17 states and the District of Columbia in response to the shutdown of one of the largest pipelines in the U.S., which supplies around 45% of fuel consumed by the East Coast. The regional emergency declaration from the Department of Transportation lifts restrictions for motor carriers and drivers who are providing assistance to areas that are suffering shortages of gasoline, diesel fuel, jet fuel, and other refined petroleum products in the wake of the Colonial Pipeline shutdown. The regional emergency declaration affects the following territories: Alabama, Arkansas, District of Columbia, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maryland, Mississippi, New Jersey, New York, North Carolina, Pennsylvania, South Carolina, Tennessee, Texas, and Virginia. Lots of states there, mine included in the list. And I want to mention that this is on the heels of a couple of weeks, maybe a week and a half ago, I reported that because of the hoax lockdowns, shutdowns, that fuel wasn't moving and people weren't going on vacations, they weren't traveling, and there became less of a need for drivers to take fuel to stations. Not a shortage of oil, but a lesser demand, almost a no demand for drivers. And so a lot of drivers quit, did other jobs, were laid off, whatever. And so that is going to create a fuel shortage. Now, on the heels of that news, we have this Colonial Pipeline shutdown, supposedly from somebody hacking into the system. And I'm not sure that I'm buying this, quite honestly. It sounds like another plan on the heels of the virus plandemic. Mike sent me a couple of messages here. Let me pull up my message board. Some hacker group named DarkSide is claiming responsibility to some degree and denying that they intended harm. And then he includes a BBC story, and we'll try to get to that. U.S. fuel pipeline hackers. DarkSide, wow. So let me get on with the Stormer article, because they do give a little more insight into this. England writes, "I don't really understand how it is possible for a pipeline to be shut down by ransomware." Well, I believe that it is possible in theory. They are probably running Windows that is not updated, and their employees are probably downloading porn on system computers. But logistically, I don't understand how the entire functionality of the system would all be linked to the same system. Furthermore, I can't imagine that anyone would be this bold. This is serious business. Anyone who did this would be caught. They even caught the Fappening guy, and he was just one guy. No real criminal hacker organization would risk doing straight-up ransomware on a U.S. infrastructure like this. And listen, there are zero details. At the time of writing, this was announced nearly 24 hours ago, and there is nothing. They just say that the pipeline was shut down and that it's going to cause gas shortages. So basically, I think that it's fake, and I would wholeheartedly agree. I think it's done by the government as part of an agenda to prepare some new grand crisis. If you don't believe that it is very likely, just go type the term cyber pandemic into any search engine and then try to figure out why all of these organizations would be talking about this concept. Now, England writes, just go ahead and ask me what item relevant to this discussion was on the Davos agenda in 2021. Just ask me that. And of course, it is right here in the World Economic Forum, Davos, averting a cyber pandemic. And so basically the article goes on to point out that not only did Davos basically talk about a viral pandemic, SARS tier, years ago, but they also talked about a cyber pandemic that would shut down infrastructure such as what we're seeing here in this Colonial Pipeline. And England writes, they were saying that the next big thing was going to be a global SARS pandemic and that there was going to be a cyber pandemic to shut down the internet. Here's a report from Yahoo Finance on one of the 2021 panel discussions where an Israeli security expert claimed that the cyber pandemic was on the way. An Israeli security expert. Leading IT experts have warned much of the world is not prepared for major cyber attacks, risking severe economic disruption. The World Economic Forum has compared the risk to the coronavirus crisis, organizing a panel event on averting a cyber pandemic at its virtual Davos Agenda Summit of global leaders this week. I don't know if I would call it a cyber pandemic because it doesn't stop our life like the biological pandemic that we have, but we're definitely under massive attack every day from multiple sources. This was according to panelist Jill Shud, the CEO of U.S. Israeli IT Security. On one hand, we're seeing these attacks are quite successful. On the other hand, we are fighting them, and it doesn't stop the entire economy at that moment. But what we know is that can happen. That can turn into a cyber pandemic like the biological pandemic. So let me go on to Anglin's analysis here, going on with the article. If you haven't gotten the point yet, these people talk about things that they are planning in terms of risk. Therefore, they talked endlessly about the risk of a global SARS pandemic. Then, all of a sudden, you had this fake pandemic. The fact that they have talked endlessly about a global cyber pandemic means that this also was planned. Just because they plan something doesn't mean they actually do it. This is all real time, and things are worked out as they need them to be worked out to fit with the agenda. But the fact that this was an agenda item from this year at Davos is pretty indicative that it is something they were going to push. Now ask yourself, what would happen if the internet, technically, probably just the Western internet, was totally shut down? How would that affect the police state agenda, do you think? Do you think, for example, that people could be rounded up and put in camps if the internet was turned off? Could they start drafting people to go fight in a war against Russia or China? Call me a kook or not, it doesn't matter. What matters is whether or not they are literally going to declare a cyber pandemic and start shutting off consumer internet access. If this is happening, what you're going to see is a wave of these ransomware attacks. And then they'll start feeding you prep material for what comes next, leading into an internet shutdown of some kind. It will not happen all of a sudden. It will be like the coronavirus thing. There will be a preparation period. There's one thing that is clear, which no one can deny. The people who are in power can presently do whatever the hell they want, and there is no one that can stop them, save Jesus himself. I wholeheartedly agree. And it does seem very astroturfed, this shutting down of a pipeline and affecting 17 states. We're going to see that effect in the next few weeks and possibly within the month as people try to travel and go on vacations now that some restrictions are lifted. And not only do you have a shortage of drivers to drive the gas to the stations, but now a shortage of the gasoline itself, the pipeline being shut down through a quote cyber attack unquote. And I just almost wonder, is this part of restructuring society? Is this phase two? And as we're going to cover here in a moment, they have a phase for this fall. And I guess the summer is going to bring us shortages of gas, restrictions on travel because of that, as well as Black Lives Matter riots every time some good boy is shot trying to resist arrest or assaulting police. And you can have riots in the summer and gas shutdowns, and then right back to the masks and the COVID-19 hoax in the fall and winter. That appears to me what they're pushing for. This, as we come up on an article about masks possibly being seasonal, get ready for the new fall line of masks. By the way, you're not allowed to wear white masks after Labor Day. According to Deadline.com, masks may become seasonal, Dr. Anthony Fauci says on Meet the Press. The pandemic is easing, but there's still uncertainty about when and where to wear protective masks. Dr. Anthony Fauci once again stepped into the breach on Sunday's Meet the Press on NBC. claiming mask wearing could eventually become seasonal. Fauci said Americans have gotten used to wearing face coverings, which he said diminishes respiratory diseases. Let me interject here. This was all part of it, right? We were saying last year on RBN, I know Patrick and I were, many other hosts were, that the mask is social conditioning. It is a litmus test, number one, to see who's going to comply. And two, it's a means of breaking you down psychologically, emotionally. Certainly, school students who are still wearing the masks in most states, on the bus and everywhere, they're being not only broken down, but conditioned. Conditioned to do whatever the system tells them to do. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not against authority. Authority is necessary. You have to have a system of authority if you're going to have law and order. But what we're seeing here is that the authority is breaching constitutional rights. And therein lies the problem. And it gets blurred, you see. It gets blurred as to, you know, what are my constitutional rights? And to what extent do I obey the authority saying this is in my best interest and health? Now, it's not blurred to us, to the hosts and listeners of RBN, but it is blurred to everyday normal Americans and people around the globe, as it is very much blurred to these school students who are now very accustomed to the masks and who I've noticed are wearing them even when they get out of class and even when they get off the bus. So, yeah, the mask is very important to the system, to the beast system, to ensure that you comply. Going on with the article, the statement marks yet another milestone in Fauci's ongoing mask advice, notorious for once stating, there's no reason to be walking around with a mask. That was according to Fauci. He has since altered his views, claiming that he made that statement to boost the availability of PPE to first responders early in the pandemic. Yeah, whatever. Government agencies like the National Health Institute and Centers for Disease Control and Prevention have also shifted their policies on masks. It wasn't until April 3rd of last year that the CDC urged everyone to wear one. And here we are. The ongoing mask epidemic problem. And people continue to wear them, even when they're alone in their vehicles. I know you've heard it over and over again. I'm just telling you that this is not going to end. And if we want to end it, we have to form the pushback. Got a break coming up real soon with many more articles on the other side here on In Plain Sight.
A night falls and I'm alone. Yeah, chill me to the bone.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
Hello, I'm Dr. Leonard Horowitz. I was right 30 years ago in warning the world about threatening lab virus outbreaks, AIDS, and Ebola. I was right 20 years ago when FBI Director Robert Mueller made me a suspect in the anthrax mailings because I warned the Bureau before the CIA's biocrime and Cipro sales psyops happened. I was right about COVID-19 being an AIDS-laced mutagen plan to resurge this fall to excuse officials' profitable depopulation globalization agendas. And I was right about the only safeguards being antioxidants and holy spiritual sustenance. Vitamin C, D, zinc, chlorophyll, oxygen, and oxysilver especially transmits the frequency resonance to neutralize the expanded function bioweapon. Oxysilver is a double superconductor of the healing power of love. It is the first nutraceutical invented to amplify prayer power and the faithful, loving intention of your heart. Buy, try, and stockpile OxySilver through HealthyWorldStore.com.
Just to clarify, Mike sent me a message, and it was included in the article. The company Colonial shut down the pipeline themselves to mitigate damage after the ransomware infected their systems. Yeah, so that's all very suspect to me. Like I said, it just seems like it's a concerted effort to sort of reshape society. And even though people are living in areas where restrictions are lifted, they could still find themselves staying home a little bit more with gas shortages. And then we went over the fall line of masks. But this is an older article, but it still checks out. 12-year-old girl sues school for requiring students to wear coronavirus masks. Pulled this one off the Stormer. This is from a little while ago, but we're still going to cover it. Daily Mail. A schoolgirl is suing a school for requiring pupils to wear face masks, which she says risk causing children serious harm to their physical and mental health. The pupil is suing the Tapton Academy School Trust, which runs a number of primary and secondary schools in the Sheffield area, to stop it from requiring or encouraging children to wear masks at school to prevent the spread of COVID-19. The 12-year-old, known only as AB, who is exempt from wearing a mask at school, says mask wearing could lead to long-term harm. But the trust argues that it only encourages the wearing of masks in line with government guidance in order to protect children, staff, and visitors. The trust also says that 120 members of staff across its various schools, representing more than 10% of its total staff, have contracted coronavirus since the end of August last year. 120 members. Wonder how many died. Doesn't tell us that, does it? Going on with the article, at a remote hearing today, AB's lawyers asked the High Court to grant an interim injunction preventing her school and the trust from making children wear masks. Francis Hoare, representing AB, told the court, "The school's policy risks causing children serious harm to their physical health and their mental health." Mr. Hoare added, "If the trust had done its job properly, it would have gathered evidence and reached a view as to the effectiveness of this particular measure, but it has done no such thing. There is no evidence, effectively, of the efficacy of these instruments that are supposedly necessary to avoid the risk of transmission of the virus. He argued in written submissions, the available evidence shows that not only is there no additional risk of transmission of the virus in school settings, but also that, by comparison to any ordinary social or work setting, the risk is likely to be lower, given the extremely low prevalence of the virus in schools. Mr. Hoare accepted that AB did not have to wear a mask at the school, but added the child is still faced with a school environment where a child, save those who are disabled, must wear masks. And that is enforced, the child says, aggressively. The case is being fought by lawification and other leading lawyers involved in legal challenges to the government's response to COVID-19. They said in a statement, we are opposed not only to the enforced wearing of masks by children, but all measures harming our children, the nation, the NHS, and the economy, which are irrational or not justified by evidence, meaning that the measures are irrational, by the way, which causes detriment to the students' health and the economy. At the conclusion of the hearing, Judge Roger Tier Hoare, QC, said he would give his judgment at a later date. That's good, but we're going to need millions of students all over the country doing lawsuits. Not only that, because the court system is flawed. And in a lot of these state Supreme Courts, such as Kentucky, our state Supreme Court sided with Beshear and the hoax. But our legislature and all the lower level judges fought for the people against the hoax. So, if, you know, even if you fight it legally, it's eventually just going to go to the state Supreme Court and get slapped down if the state Supreme Court is liberal. You could have instances in some states where the state Supreme Court will side with the Constitution of the state. But either way, a real grassroots effort would be for hundreds, thousands, millions across the country, millions of parents just saying, no, we're not wearing the mask. What are you going to do? Make the school expel the students and go through the process. This is like a boycott. You got to boycott the mask. It works. Remember, I've said time and again, when Walmart brutally enforced the mask last summer, Dollar General did not. Dollar General, and Walmart lost business to Dollar General, and Walmart quit enforcing the mask. That's what an organic boycott can do. Got a break back on the other side with our callers.
Truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
So, you love talk radio? Then you'll love TalkStreamLive.com. TalkStream Live is always on, 24/7, with the best streaming talk shows. Find your favorite talkers and discover some new ones. It's free, readily available online or on mobile with any smartphone or tablet. Finding your favorite talk shows all in one place has gotten a whole lot easier. Just go to TalkStreamLive.com. Be sure to download the free apps from Google Play or the iTunes App Store.
Please view, like, and subscribe to our YouTube channel, Stop Terrorism. Please contact us if you or anyone you know who wants to be on our show at thetruthpharmacy@gmail.com. Keep it real. Take the red pill.
Extendivite has proven time and again it really works. Here's a testimonial from Amazon.com. I am only 40, but I have put my body through hell working in manufacturing for 20 years. I recently started to notice a buzzing feeling along with a stuttering sensation with my heart. I had a full cardio stress done, which I passed. I decided to try Extendivite after getting the jingle stuck in my head. Halfway through the bottle, I really did notice a difference. After getting home from work, I would just sit in a chair for a few hours feeling like crap, and this stuff reduced that feeling along with heart discomfort to almost nothing. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Ladies and gentlemen, J.R. Moore here. We have a special promotion going on at Republic Broadcasting. This is a fundraiser for Republic Broadcasting involving the Energy Planner. Mail me a postcard. My address is at my website at thelibertyman.com. We pick a postcard every other Thursday. When your postcard is drawn out, you get to buy an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285, $70 discount. $200 goes to Republic Broadcasting. You also get a 10% discount on my mattress pads. So get those postcards in, put your name, your telephone number, your email address on there, and when your postcard is drawn, you get to get an Energy Planner for $215 instead of $285. Mattress pads, 10% off. Help us out at Republic Broadcasting and help yourself to get an Energy Planner at a deep discount. It's a win-win situation for everybody. We hope you can get these postcards in soon. Thank you very much.
Memory, your landline is burning holes. Recover the damage, bring it all home.
From Kentucky, covering the headlines, the virus regime turns into a cyber attack regime, and back to the mask regime in the fall. Good times ahead, fam. Got our callers coming up now. I think we got Marcus from Idaho. Marcus, are you with us?
Yes, sir, Jeremy.
All right.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Well, first off, the mask for children under age 7 is going to destroy them for the rest of their life. They're going to remember this whole type of concept. It's going to really just hurt them so deeply. I'm so sad about that. It's a really, really bad problem.
Yeah, I am too.
And the mask Nazis that, you know, when you pull away, the state says there's no mask mandate, or the county says there's no mask mandate anymore, and the mask Nazis and the businesses which say, you've got to wear a mask and, you know, you can't be in here, whatever. This is crazy. There's a nutso capacity with people. I guess it's liberalism is insanity. So that's a problem. And with the pipeline going down over in Texas, feeding the East Coast, we are going in for a really bad time. Everything is going to go up, and how are we going to deal with this? The governments are going to say we're going to pull away that $300 for your unemployment per week for people pretty soon in places, and it's going to throw us all in turmoil. Everybody's going to be like, oh, gosh, how am I going to get a job? jobs are out there, but they're going to be responsive to actual people, real people, and it's going to be just a huge mess. I don't know how we get through this.
And what I've noticed is that the big corporations are actually enforcing this, like you've pointed out. Even in states and cities where the mask is dropped, they're still enforcing it. This is rule by CEO, rule by big business, by technocracy. I mean,
excuse me.
Yeah.
It's not only big corporations. It's like St. Vincent de Paul. And the thrift stores around, they're being totally mask Nazi. Like, you don't have a mask on? What's wrong with you? I'm going to push you out of the doors or anything. You can't shop here. And it's the ridiculousness of certain pockets within society when the mask mandate has been pulled away, but they still want to enforce this ideology upon people and tell people to be afraid, be very afraid.
Yep, for sure. And, you know, it's also businesses that push the Black Lives Matter narrative. You know, Walmart contributing over $100 million to that cause. So, Our problem really isn't big government, even though the government is corrupt and horrible and enabling this. The problem is big business just running amok.
The problem is that we've got a society of rich individuals which have determined how they're going to run society, and they are in lockstep. They've been running their ideas past each other for the last 50 years in Davos, Switzerland, and the government and people and the huge corporation people all run that same idea. So they're how can we screw America? How can we mess America, put America down the tube so that we can bring in our total annihilation of our society and bring in the New World Order. And this is definitely a tool in their toolbox right now.
Totally agreed. Well, I appreciate the call, Marcus. Good information as always.
Yeah, thank you, Jeremy. Thank you. Thank you so much. You're a good guy. I appreciate you, sir.
Appreciate you, my friend. Thanks for your call. And moving on to Dan from Washington. Dan, welcome to the show.
Hey, happy Monday.
Yeah.
Did you have Murph from Wisconsin on for? Have you ever had her on for a guest? She's been a trooper all these years.
I have not yet, but I plan to do that on one of my health and wellness Fridays. She has a lot of good health and wellness, home remedies, grow your own food type things.
Cool. Yeah, she's always been there in the got an interesting take. I'm gonna research that 1918 pandemic or what was the original flu. I wonder if because they had some pictures of people in masks back then, and I wonder if there was maybe some World War One protest going on, and they said, hey, everyone wear masks, we got this pandemic, it's like, submit, you know? It is a perfect submission thing, you know? The people are getting a little uppity, so make them submit, you know?
That is interesting that that pandemic coincided with the World War. And another phenomenon you had, you know, during World War One. This was pre-penicillin, and so a lot of people were just simply getting bacterial infections from traveling abroad, like soldiers traveling abroad and coming home and spreading it. And there was no, you know, just common sense penicillin to treat that. I think that really contributed to that flu virus as well, was the lack of, and a lot of people just died of pneumonia from things that could be treated very easily today.
I'm going to check that out. There's stuff to, I did post a video, or I sent a video to a friend of I don't have his name right now, but a specialist in Idaho gave a great speech on masks, and but YouTube banned it. So I sent it to like three people, and I tried to watch it again, and it was banned already. And let's see if I can, I don't have time to look it up right now. Sorry, I shouldn't have brought that up. But no, they're banning any kind of alternative points of view and, you know, ways to treat it. They just want to push the vaccine and keep us in a state of fear and make money off it and stuff like that. So.
And the tremendous wealth transfer, you know, to, you know, BlackRock for one, and many of these other Jewish, or you know, financial organizations. I mean, how can people not see that? I mean, that's what the pandemic was about, was this wealth transfer, really.
Yeah, they're making trillions, the global elite. Oh, it was a video from Dr. Ryan Cole in Idaho, and he gave a great speech, if you can maybe on BitChute. And it was just I've never seen anything like it, and the masks, you know, are making us submit. And they keep us in a constant state of fear, like this pipeline you're talking about, or there's just so much stuff. The oil tanker that got stuck in the Suez Canal, you know, I mean, right. One thing after another. I called last week. As far as I know, the fish sign is the sign of Pisces. The caller called in and said, we were talking about Christian identity and stuff, but have you seen the movie Zeitgeist? It kind of picks apart Christianity, but it's kind of cool how it a lot of it's tied to astrology, and the fish is a symbol of Pisces, and we're going into the age of Aquarius. That's how I took the fish symbol.
I've not seen it, but here's what I'll leave you with. There's nothing in the Bible about a fish symbol. And in the texts that were written 2,000 years ago. And a lot of this modern stuff, like, you know, under the Roman Catholic Church, the Christian Church did adopt a lot of pagan holidays and symbolism to cater to the people that they proselytized. And so I wouldn't doubt it. I'm not saying that it is. I'm just saying that I wouldn't doubt it. But there's nothing in the Bible about using a fish symbol. So it could very well be a pagan symbol.
Exactly. So, and I'm listening to Josephus on audiobook, and it's pretty interesting. I don't know if you said you were reading Josephus. I don't know if you've got. I just listened to the audiobook. I wouldn't even attempt to read something like that, but you can go ahead.
Large portions of Flavius Josephus over the last probably 15 years when I do college papers or when just I do research. I've not read his entire works, but I would like to get the audio. That sounds interesting.
Yeah, it's good. Okay, all right, have a good night. Thanks.
Hey, thanks a lot, Dan. All right. And moving on to more callers. Got to pull up the call screen here. I think my headsets are not working properly. Mike, you send me a text if we're I'm way off here. Ken in New York, gotcha. Ken, welcome to the show.
Thank you. I think I might have an argument that might work with a business that says they're private and they can do whatever they want when it comes to the masks.
Okay.
Based on what Uncle Ralph has talked about in the past, if you take a benefit, you owe the public a duty. And in a strange sort of way, when you pay taxes, you're getting a benefit. Now, he called it implied in law contract, so therefore the benefit that the IRS gets out of it is they get your taxes, and your benefit is that you get screwed. But it's still to consider the benefit.
Right. Another thing.
If you owe public a duty, the argument is they do not have the right to say that they're private and they can go against, for example, what a governor might say. If the governor says no more masks, call the sheriff.
Yeah, and something else to point out, just right along the lines, which dovetails with your point, is, you know, how do these stores get their goods? Through trucking, you know, shipping on roads that are paid by taxpayers, you know, roads that were paved by taxpayers' money. And
another benefit. You try to line up as many benefits as you can and just remind them that they owe the public a duty. Not that you would remind them, but it would be a good arguing point, I think, for the sheriff. Or, you know, possibly the courts if you actually had an honest court. You know, and just to touch on that subject for a moment, when I vote, I just vote against incumbents.
Yeah.
So, well, even if they're good, unfortunately, they're never good enough.
Well, and that's a good point, but I just want to elaborate a little more on your original point, which was very good, yes. And I've used it before, is, you know, these big businesses that say they're private, they operate on existing infrastructure paid for by taxpayers. For example, how does Amazon have the right to ban a book when they use the internet, which was, you know, started by the government in the 60s, you know, through the Air Force, and which, you know, taxpayers fund the cables and the spreading of internet. Taxpayers fund the roads that these trucks drive on to deliver Amazon products. How can Amazon ban a book and say it's a private company when they operate on all these existing infrastructures paid for by taxpayers? You got a very good point. That was a very good point.
Good night.
Thanks a lot, Ken. All right. So, yeah, indeed. Private company, indeed. They're very willing to operate on the structures that we pay taxes on and that our governments, you know, fund. But yet they can do with it as if they built the whole thing by themselves. Yeah. Not buying it. So we've got one more article I want to cover, and we're right on the cusp of the break here. I wanted to find out about what happened to the 61-year-old Asian man that was attacked brutally by a black in Manhattan. There was an arrest made. This is according to New York, NBCNewYork.com. Arrest made in brutal New York City head-stomping attack on a 61-year-old Asian man. A 49-year-old Manhattan man has been arrested in connection with last week's brutal head-stomp attack on a 61-year-old Asian man in East Harlem, cops say. Jared Powell was cuffed on two felony assaults as a hate crime and an attempted murder charge around 2:45 a.m. Tuesday. Police had been looking for him since Friday night's attack near 3rd Avenue and East 125th Street. By the way, this article is dated April 27th. It's a bit dated, but I just pulled it up the other day, and I wanted to just follow up on this. I covered the article originally by the Stormer where this Asian man was brutally attacked. NBC New York learned that it was a tip from fellow homeless persons that led to Powell's arrest. According to police, the suspect hit the victim in the back, causing him to fall to the ground. Then he allegedly proceeded to kick him multiple times in the head before running off. Video tweeted out by police appears to show the brutal head stomp. The victim was said to have sustained significant injury. He was taken to a hospital in critical condition and remains that way. I have not heard anything more on the victim's status, but I'll try to dig something up for you. On a break here and be back on the other side to wrap up the show and then plain sight. We're
working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms or you have a concealed weapon permit and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited-time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Jeremy from Kentucky on In Plain Sight. Just now got my headsets to working right. Sorry, Mike. And we got Chris from Virginia wrapping up the show with you, Chris.
Hey, everybody.
Hey,
everybody. Yeah.
How you doing?
Welcome to the next nightmare.
I know, right?
I feel like we're in a Star Wars movie or something. But I just wanted to quickly... here in Virginia, our stuff runs out June 30th, but we all just found out about it. It's just a legal fact from when he initiated an executive order here. So it all goes away, and then he has to declare another emergency if he wants to try to do that. So the biggest thing is they don't want the mask to go away. That's their crown jewel. So, but the thing is, if the executive order expires, then the law goes back into effect. And in Virginia, we have a law, and many states do, maybe yours does, that masks are illegal. They're illegal. But before the pandemic, you couldn't wear them. Mm-hmm. But think about that, right? Chew on that for a second. All these people are going to go, I have a right to wear one if I want, and this business and that. No, no, it's illegal. It instantly goes from, you have to wear a mask, to, hey, it's illegal to wear a mask. Sorry, you got to take it off or you're going to jail. Isn't it interesting?
And that was aimed at a lot of Antifa violence, too, that mask law. I know what you're talking about.
By the way, I'm doing a protest at Hanover County Public Schools school board meeting tomorrow. So hopefully we'll have a lot of people out, but we found out the left has already found out about it, so that's going to be fun.
We're going to do a little protest of our own. I'm going to get about 100 parents together whose students are not going to wear masks. Now, that doesn't sound like a lot, but it's in a school of like 300 people, so 300 students, and they're just not going to wear the mask in the fall.
Plenty. If you can get that many out, that encourages more, right?
Yeah, they're going to have to just suspend 300 students. Let's see how that works out.
Amen, brother. Good luck with that. Really.
Man, I'm glad to hear you're doing a protest, too. They're pushing back in Indianapolis, too. An article I didn't get to cover, Indianapolis, in Indiana, the legislature is pushing back against the all of the, you know, the health department having this much power. The governor vetoed it, and the legislature vetoed him, and it's back and forth. But these states are fighting back, and we should fight back individually with our grassroots protests, as you're doing. So kudos to you.
Yeah, it's. Someone bucked me up. Always remember George Washington lost more battles than he won.
Yeah.
So we just have to fight. We just have to fight. That's all we can do. Thank you, sir. Love your show.
Man, thanks a lot, Chris. Good call.
All right, buddy. All right, bye.
At the end of the show, and we'll be back tomorrow night live with the Cape Crusader on In Plain Sight. Y'all stay classy.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast two-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.